So I don't know if you all would believe this if I told you, but my house growing up was a very noisy place. Hannah and Aaron, is our house a very noisy place right now? No, it is way different. It seemed that my dad was always shouting. He was shouting all the time, and that wasn't a really bad thing. My dad shouted when he was excited. My dad shouted when he was happy. My dad shouted when he was upset, but he was just kind of shouting all the time. So you know how we knew that we were in trouble? When he stopped shouting. And he would get very quiet, and one of the things he would say is, I'm going to tell you this one more time. And he'd say it in just a voice like that. Can you imagine your grandfather saying, just one more time? And we had to listen up. So I don't know if you heard today, but Jesus did just about the same thing. He said, I'm going to tell you something one more time. And then he healed a blind man. I know you all are scratching your head. You're thinking, I don't remember him telling us that the first time. But he did many, many months ago in church. We might have read that Jesus healed another blind man. And Jesus is thinking, you all didn't understand it, did you? And so he heals one more blind man today. And so when I get up in the pulpit today, I'm going to talk about what that means and what we might take away from that. But I think for us, we need to think about all of the things that we experience here in church that Jesus says to us over and over and over again. Because if Jesus repeats himself, then we probably ought to pay attention, shouldn't we? So what are some of the things that Jesus likes to say over and over and over again? All right, so we're going to start fresh today then, listening for the things that Jesus says over and over again. And then what? When I come back in a couple of weeks, should we review them? All right, so we're going to listen, and they're going to listen, because I noticed none of them raised their hands either. And we're going to see, because when Jesus repeats himself, it's really important. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for sending Jesus among us to show us your love again and again and again and again. Help us to pay close attention to what Jesus is saying and doing, so that we can know how much you love us. Amen. Thanks, friends. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So one of the challenges of a midterm election cycle, the politically charged atmosphere that it brings, is it makes it difficult to tell jokes from the pulpit. So I'm going to ask for your patience and a little bit of your imagination this morning as I share with you a joke that my friend George shared with me a few weeks ago. Said that it is said that on the eve of his death, Pope John Paul II called, insert the name of your least favorite political character here, and his/her lieutenant, to his bedside. Because they either were or were not Catholic, they thought this was strange. And they asked the Pope, why, Mr. Pope, would you call us to attend you at your death? To which the dying Pope responded, it seemed fit for our Lord to die between two thieves. I figured that I might as well. It did work. It worked without even saying who the people were. How fun is that? Much is made of the two thieves, but I would claim this morning that the two thieves are not the only people sandwich in which Jesus finds himself. The whole middle section of Mark, at least the last couple of months of Sunday lectionary texts, have sandwiched Jesus between two others, between two blind men. Today's story of blind Bartimaeus brings to an end the section, and we need to stretch back a little bit to the story in the seventh chapter of St. Mark of the blind man of Bethsaida. Now, I see you scratching your head, those who are faithful in their weekly attendance and are thinking, I was here every Sunday for the last couple of months, And I don't remember that story. And you're right. It wasn't actually read on a Sunday morning. Perhaps the lectionary feels that these two stories, similar as they are, would be redundant to repeat in church. Or maybe they just want to help today's preacher out by giving me some more text to work with. So please allow me to recap. As Jesus begins the second half of his ministry, his inevitable turn towards Jerusalem in Mark's gospel, he encounters a blind man in a city called Bethsaida. The man is nameless. He does not call out to Jesus, but rather he is brought to Jesus by friends. And Jesus heals him in a strange yet somehow profound way. First, he spits in the man's eyes. That was my response too. And then laying his hands on him, he prays over him and asks the man if he can see, and he says, "No. I see men," he says, "but they appear as trees." And so Jesus lays hands upon him again, and the man sees more clearly. And as is the case with so many in the early parts of Mark's gospel, Jesus tells him, "Do not tell anyone what has happened to you. Don't even go into the city where they might recognize you as the one formerly blind." But like so many in the first half of Jesus' gospel, he goes and he tells. And nobody listens to Jesus at the beginning. And Jesus' fame spreads. The parallels and anti-parallels abound between the blind man of Bethsaida and the blind Bartimaeus. Both are healed, one in one step, one in two. Both see Jesus clearly for who he is. But what is perhaps more significant is the way that these two stories sandwich a whole body of teachings that are central to Jesus' ministry and to the gospel. Like the furtherance of the healing of the blind man in the first case, Jesus is clarifying in these many chapters that we've read what it means to be Messiah. And he is clarifying what it means to be the followers of Messiah. Now, this is all well and good for Bible study, but what does it mean for us? Where do we fit between these two blind men? The critique of labeling someone as spiritually blind is, at certain points in the gospel, fairly harsh. Some will remember the story from John's Gospels in which Jesus accuses the Pharisees of being blind. And they plot on how to destroy him. But we must admit that it is not completely unfitting. And I'm pretty sure that there is some room for us to inhabit this description, spiritually blind, without losing our cool in the way those Pharisees did. Consider Job, for instance, who in today's Old Testament reading claims and owns his own spiritual blindness. "I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear," Job says. "But now that I see you face to face, I despise myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." And by all accounts, Job was a pretty good dude, right? Probably not so bad for us to be in his company. And so I think that it is safe and perhaps even fair for us to claim the mantle of spiritual blindness too, by the simple fact that we are born now instead of then. We inherit a certain literal blindness with respect to Jesus, for not many of us have seen him face to face. And if we add to that any of the various other myopia and stigmatisms that the literal followers of Christ have displayed in the last few weeks, competition, inordinate love of worldly goods, infighting, backbiting, base unbelief in what Jesus claims, you can see where we might be pretty bad off, we who are spiritually blind. But as bleak as all of this may seem, one of the good things about these texts is the seeming ease with which the healing is obtained. Bartimaeus does simply nothing more than call out to Jesus as he passes by, and Jesus hears him and heals him. The blind man of Bethsaida does even less. It's not even clear that he willingly went with his friends to go see the healer Jesus. Jesus wants to heal these men, and he wants to heal us. Jesus wants all of these mysteries to become clearer to us despite our afflictions. And again, as the last several weeks have shown us, Jesus is willing to go to great lengths to help us achieve greater clarity. Jesus teaches about the impending death of the Messiah, about our own role as servant leaders in the community, about the faith of children. Jesus performs miracles, healing and feeding and allowing people to be closer to him. Jesus even rebukes those whom he loves most when they fail to progress along the way. Jesus will even go so far as to die upon the cross for us, all so that we can be healed, all so that we can see. There is a South Asian parable of several blind men who hear of an elephant. And so they all go down to the town square, not ever having had this experience, to discover what is this elephant. Some of you probably know this story. Some, upon encountering the trunk of the elephant in their blindness, say, "An elephant is like unto a snake." And those encountering the ears say, "No, it is more like a fan." Others say, "An elephant is like unto a wall." And others say it is like a tree. For the religious traditions from which it springs, this story's call is one of humility, of not allowing our own unique claim upon the truth to be the one that crowds all other claims to truth out, of accepting our own blindness and not substituting strife with others for our lack of knowledge. This story's call to humility with respect to knowledge and conflict is important. Don't hear me wrong on that part. We all could use a dose of this type of humility. But it is not the end of the story for us as Christians. For the God made manifest in Jesus Christ, about whom we own some spiritual blindness, is not an object to be discovered and debated, is not something that is out there in its own objectivity for each of us to grope with and then to compare notes upon, even in our humility. The truth, rather, for the Christian is a person to be encountered and embraced, for it is Jesus himself who says, "I am the truth." The truth is a person and a relationship who, rather than standing there waiting for us to grope around, reaches out to us and wants us to see. All we need do is to call out, "Son of David, have mercy upon us." Or even to call out on behalf of one another. And we will know this truth. The truth that is Jesus. Amen.